The Duly Noted Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's. Satisfy your craving for hand-breaded chicken and fresh-made salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com/podcast. And by Vistar Credit Union with locations across Gator Country. Visit vistarcu.org and also ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. ABC, always be celebrating.
This is Duly Noted, everything Florida Gators, with your host, Pat Duly.
Okay, welcome into another Duly Noted podcast. I've been told that the last podcast, the early week one, was 59 minutes. This one's not going to be that long. Like everybody else, I want to get done for the week so I can go and enjoy Thursday. I'm taping this on Wednesday. This is the magic of technology. But we're going to look ahead towards the big games this weekend, including, obviously, Florida State. And we got two special guests today. I think you guys are going to enjoy who we have coming up. Florida, here's the thing about Florida, Florida State, and Florida, Tennessee, and Florida, Georgia, and Florida, Auburn, and every game that Florida plays that we talk about on this show. We always come up with the keys, right? Here are the keys. Here's what they got to do. Here's how Florida is going to win this game, right? Here's what you got. And then a lot of, not always, sometimes we're dead right. The team that rushes for the most yards wins the game. Yeah, well, that happened in the Georgia game. But it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes there's things that happen in the game. We have no idea. It's easy to sit here right now and say the team with the most turnovers will not win the game. And yet we've seen it happen. Just the other night, Washington State had 5 turnovers. I think they were -4 and 1. We remember the game where Florida had, back in 05, where Florida had 5 turnovers at LSU and lost. They got 5 turnovers and lost. So it's not, it could come down to the turnovers. The turnovers, if they're in the key spots, key parts of the field, could be a huge factor in this game, but we don't know that they are. We don't know that the team that runs for the most yards is going to win, because the bottom line is we probably know FSU's going to run for the most yards because, Florida's obviously struggled with the running game. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win the game. So you try to come up with what you think needs to happen, but you also know then comes the game and you just watch it and see what happens and then start all. Here's what we do know. We know Florida's going to start slow. In fact, if they were going to make a movie, it would be called They Will Start Slow instead of There Will Be Blood. Get it? I was trying to be funny there. All right. They will start slow. It's just we're at the point now where we just have to accept it. They're slow starters. You know? They're like an engine on Christmas morning in Minnesota, not in Gainesville, where I'm wearing shorts today, by the way. That's how beautiful it is in this part of the country. But, they're going to start slow. It would be great if they didn't. It would be great if they got an early turnover or somebody broke one. You know, the Auburn game, if you remember, they had the big play with Swain, and then they kind of didn't do a whole lot for a while, so it wasn't like they started fast, but it was kind of fool's gold, but they were able to play from ahead, and I think it is important for them to play from ahead, but they can win from behind too. So it's not like it's absolutely necessary. I do think in a game like this, against a rival and against a team that has nothing to lose, because really, what is the difference between whether FSU wins this game or loses this game in terms of bowls? I don't even know what bowls they would qualify for, but it ain't going to be that big of a difference. They would go in on a high, and if they do, in fact, name their coach next week, as expected, maybe get some momentum. And look, before the season, I did this thing. I think it was a blog. I don't even know. I don't think it was a full story. A blog on how the 5 most important games for Florida. And I didn't include FSU. And I didn't at the time because it was so far away. You know, that was part of it. But the biggest reason I didn't is because FSU was down and I thought there were bigger games. I thought the Miami game was huge for Florida. And I think I had that number 1. And Georgia was number 2 for the obvious reasons. And then I think I had Missouri 3, and people were scoffing at it. But I was like, dude, have you noticed what Missouri's done to Florida? And then I think it was LSU and Auburn were the other two. So those were the 5. But now you're sitting here in FSU week and you're like, no, 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 this is the most important. It's not the most important game Florida's played this year, but it is gigantic. And it is gigantic for a lot of reasons. And the biggest, I guess, to me is that, you know, a loss would be that debilitating. You know, it would be something you had to live with for the whole year. That's the way rivalry games are. You have to live with them. But not all rivalry games are created the same. But Florida FSU is in the same framework, I think, as Auburn, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan. Now, because one of the teams hasn't been good, either, you know, for Florida for a while, is FSU now, haven't been very good, it's taken away from maybe the luster of the game, but the rivalry still matters, and the rivalry is still something you got to live with for a year. You got friends that are FSU fans. I was married to an FSU fan for a while. Not surprisingly, not anymore. But you know people at work that are FSU fans. We used to have a guy that worked here. He used to drive me crazy. Okay? So you have to deal with that. And that's part of the reason it's a big deal. But the bigger reason to me is how it could ruin a season. And you know FSU's coming in here going, hey, we can ruin Florida's season. Just the way they did ours in 1997. The game that everybody always loves to talk about. Ruined our season, right? We can ruin theirs. There may be no difference in what bowl Florida goes to based on whether they lose or win this game. That's a possibility. It could be they're going to the Capital One Citrus, whatever it's called, Camping World, and Taxidermy. Bowl, whatever it is. I'm not a fan of that bowl game, and to go back there a second time, I'm not thrilled. But it could be, the point was, I lost my train of thought there, and I apologize. The point is, what they do in this game may have nothing to do with that. It could be that because everything works not in Florida's favor with some of the other bowls and some of the other results over the week, next 2 weeks, that Florida's in the Citrus Bowl no matter what. And it could be even if that they lose, they still go, hey, you know, they're still 9-3. There'll be a draw, although not as big a draw, I think, as they think, because it's the state of Florida, so we'll take them to the Citrus. I don't think it would knock them down to the Outback. And that's a lot of that has to do with the SEC and how it's been this year. So I'm going to talk about that. Also going to tell you, talk a little bit about the college football playoff. We have got a special guest for you, special two guests for you today. And after the break, I'll tell you who's coming on. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll also get into the spreads. You know that. We love to do the spreads on the Thursday before Thanksgiving. Or Thursday before the game. Thursday of Thanksgiving. When you're listening to this, this is Thanksgiving. How was it? Did you eat too much? Did you drink too much? Talk too much? Don't talk at the dinner table. It never ends well. We'll take a break and be right back with more here on the Duly Noted Podcast.
At ViStar, we believe in better, especially in helping build a better financial future for our members. So we've reviewed our offerings from the ground up. We've lowered or eliminated over half our fees and enhanced our already competitive rates, saving members more than $1 million this year, in addition to the millions we save them every year. If you believe that saving money is better, join ViStar. We never forget that it's your money. All loans subject to approval, insured by NCUA.
No one gets you ready to celebrate like the team at ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. You want great prices and a giant selection? They've got it. You need convenient locations, online ordering, and fast service? ABC's got you covered. Get a jump on this month's deals at abcfws.com. Visit any of their 123 Florida stores today for free samples or get expert advice from their beer, wine, or spirits experts. Don't forget a cigar in their walk-in humidor. ABC is Florida family-owned and operated since 1936. ABC. Always be celebrating.
Okay, welcome back to the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com. One of the keys that I did write down, though, when I was that Florida, I think, needs to do. And I just wrote this. Sometimes I write, try to be kind of pithy, but have a game, defensive line. Look, is Zuniga's back clear to play? Grenard's 100%, he told us the other day. Their offensive line has been one of their biggest problems. Have a game, defensive line. Dominate the game. If you can do that, I feel very confident Florida will win the game. And that's certainly something they're capable of. I got a call from my daughter today, and she's all worried. She's a student at Florida, of course, and a huge fan. And she says, I'm worried the players sound too confident. They're overconfident. I go, they're not overconfident. There's a difference between overconfidence and just knowing the job you have to do and confident in your coaches are going to put you in a good position. And this is what we have talked about for 2 years with this coaching staff and these players, is these players are confident in their coaches. That doesn't always happen in college football. You see guys all the time who aren't confident in their coaches, and they play like they're not confident in their coaches. And maybe the energy level's not there. You got to ratchet it up for a game like this. You got to ratchet it up for every game in a perfect world, but not everybody can do that. It's a long season. There's 12 college football games are a long season. For some, it's 13, 14, 15. But it's long, and especially when you started in July, earlier than ever, that makes it even tougher. So, you know, it's hard to ratchet up, and I get that all the time. But for a game like this, you certainly have to. There's no question about it. Not all these guys have this inherent hatred for FSU. You know, guys like Adam Schuller. Although Grenard, I get the impression, did, because he played against them at Louisville as well. Van Jefferson probably doesn't have any real hatred for FSU, but it's a learned characteristic. It's kind of like scotch, you know. It's an acquired taste, hating FSU. But I told my daughter, don't worry. I mean, I think they're going to be ready. I don't doubt that they're going to be ready for this game. But it does make you nervous, you know. But again, one thing, Jeff Cardozo has been good at slapping some sense into me when I get all, before the Tennessee game, I don't know, these receivers are really good. They're going to be tough. I don't know. This game, it drives you crazy. 35-3. Okay. Sorry. Didn't mean to make anybody nervous. But anyway, so it's this simple. And you guys have heard me say this about other games and everything. Do your job. Take care of your business. This is very similar to going to Columbia, South Carolina, and Columbia, Missouri. And, you know, those kind of games. FSU's got enough good players to beat you. They don't have enough to beat you if you play well. And that's, like, LSU has enough players to beat you if you play well. Alabama does, Clemson does, Georgia does. Oklahoma does, all the top teams. They have enough players that if both teams play well, they can still beat you. Like, you could play a really, what you would consider to be your A-minus game, and it might not be good enough. If you play your A-minus game against FSU, they can't beat you. They cannot, okay? They're not good enough. They've got good enough players, though, to do special things and put you in a hole and make you nervous and make you get edgy about the game and make the coaches worry about, not getting enough possessions and enough plays. So, look, do your job. Do your assignments. Don't get caught up in the emotion of it. It's senior day, and it's a special senior day. These guys who helped turn this program right in the right direction didn't get them all the way where they wanted to be, but damn sure made them a lot more fun to watch. This senior class, to me, is a very special class. Again, coming in from some of them transfers, some of them guys who just were never good enough to even think about turning pro. Zuniga would be the only one from the 15 class that would have thought to turn pro who's still here. And, of course, he didn't, and then he got hurt, so he hadn't really had much of a senior year. The 16 class, that guys just weren't really good enough to go pro. Or most people go pro when they're good enough to go pro. And we've seen defections. But when you think about it, six guys from the 16 class, three from the 15 class, and then four transfers. of the guys who play. That's not a lot of players. There's been a lot of defections for a lot of different reasons. Some guys got kicked off. Some guys went in the transfer portal. Some guys obviously were good enough to go to the NFL. And this is what these are the guys that survived. And sometimes they survived not necessarily because they, you know, because they were all about the University of Florida. They survived because this was they had nowhere else to go, you know. But they still could have gone somewhere else. They still could have gone to, in the transfer portal. And a bunch of these guys did. And none of them are doing anything special. And they could have helped Florida's depth. But that's their problem. They're somewhere else getting a degree from a school that's not going to be as good as the one they're at. Although there's one kid that did go to Vanderbilt. Who was it? I'm trying to remember. One defensive lineman. God, I'm going blank on it. Langham, I think it was. So anyway, that's all I have to say about that. We all know why this game matters, okay? And I'm going to write about it for Saturday. We all know why it matters, all the different things that may mean it matters. But the number one thing is it's Florida State. It's the semis. One of the coolest things that Steve Spurrier ever did was start calling them the semis. It made me laugh every time he said it. And his argument was, look, they want to be called the Noles. I'm not calling them the Noles. The Noles is their little pet name, their affectionate name for the team. Now, there's semis. Semi-Noles. Semis. So, and I will say this. I did, when he went to South Carolina, start calling on the gamies just to say, hey, you know, we can do that both ways. And some of their fans didn't like that. It didn't really catch on either. But the semis are coming to town. They're coming to town with that band of theirs, which we all know about that. You know, they did, I mentioned earlier on the podcast, they returned, I think, 3,200 tickets out of 6,000. Unfortunately, the band didn't return any. That would have been great if they had. It's just irritating because it goes right to the press box. I wish it did. All right, so we will, night game should be fun, should be electric. I have nothing left to say about Florida FSU. You guys all know how I feel about FSU, and I think you know how you feel about FSU. And I understand all the people that are nervous and, you know, worried because it's FSU. And because FSU's won four in a row here under, I don't think any of those games have to do with this one at all, but they have done it. So we'll see what happens. All right. Want to get to some of the spreads as well as a little bit of basketball and three things. That'll all come, but after we go to our guests, two special guests, it'll be fun, hopefully, because we're going to bring on Chris Doering, who we love to death from the SEC Network and who is a known Noel hater or semi-hater, and Robbie Andrew of the Gainesville Suns. A lot of you have clamored for Robbie to come on the show. We haven't had him on in a while, so we're going to get him on. All three of us will do a little roundtable discussion here on the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com. Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or visit Zaxby's.com. All right, welcome back to the Duly Noted Podcast. Special treat for you today because not only are we bringing in our favorite guest and Chris Doering, we're going to talk a little Florida FSU with him, but there's been much acclaim to get Robbie back on the podcast, and I think it's just from...
But why? I don't get it.
It might be your sister or brother or something asking for that.
Maybe. Could be.
I can't really see the positive. So we have an All-American receiver and an All-American hack here ready to talk, and Chris Doering joins us right now from the SEC Network. And I know, Chris, that Florida FSU always takes on a special meaning for you. And you told a great story about going to the Gator FSU baseball
game. Well, that is a great one.
Yeah, and when you were being recruited. Go ahead and tell that story.
Well, before we go into that, I want to say that I thoroughly enjoy being able to hang out with both of you guys, although this will probably be the least fun that the three of us have had together in the last year.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can name off some, some much better times. But
that is actually very true.
No Big Bill this time, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is much cheaper than, than hanging out with you guys at the other locations. But anyway, yeah, that the story that I tell a lot, you know, when I was coming along, growing up in Gainesville, going up to all the Gator games, in fact, you know, I think about all the sports that I attended as a kid outside of football, you know, going to baseball there at Perry Field, going to basketball at the O-Dome, going to gymnastics. I mean, it was a large part of my life, and I always had this vision that I was going to go through school, I was going to get given a scholarship by Florida, and I was going to play for the Gators and go on and play in the NFL, and had a great, what I thought was a great career. I tell everybody all the time that I had the greatest senior years in the history of senior years, because I was All-State in football, I was All-State in basketball, I was All-State in baseball, I was the MVP of the state basketball tournament when we won the state basketball championship, and I was Sky Masterson in the musical theater production of Guys and Dolls. So got a chance to do everything. Yeah, I mean, it was completely covered, had this dream, and then, you know, I'm waiting and waiting for this phone call to come from Florida. Went to Coach Spurrier's summer camp, at first Florida football camp that he was here in 1990. Just kept waiting, and that phone call never came. And finally, I was given the opportunity to be a preferred walk-on at Florida. And just felt like Florida had let down this agreement that I had created in my head. They let their end down. So I started getting some calls from Florida State and from Georgia. And I remember going up to Florida State, and they actually treated me really well. Didn't offer me a scholarship, but gave me that same preferred walk-on offer. And I felt like it was something that, you know, they were showing me much more love than my hometown Gators. So for a while there, I can remember wearing a Florida State hat to school. I can remember carrying around a Yeah, I mean, for me, that's hard to believe. But it all came to a head. We went to Perry Field to watch Florida and Florida State in a baseball game. And I remember the tomahawk chop, all the Florida State fans around doing that. And I remember looking at my dad saying, "Dad, I can't do this. This is obnoxious. This stands for everything that I've hated my entire life." And at that point in time, I decided I was going to walk on to Florida. And as we've talked about so many times before, guys, the route didn't take the path that I expected it to, but it all ended up being much better in the end because of what I went through and having to earn that scholarship and getting the acceptance of my teammates and coaches from what I did at practice during my first 2 years at Florida, and then on to you know, setting the records and having the career that I did. So couldn't have asked for anything more, but it was funny, the circuitous route that it kind of took.
I don't know if you know, Robbie was all St. Johns County in golf.
Well, I didn't know there was such a
thing. There was only one school in St. John's County at the time. I didn't even make it.
I was all everything.
You were honorable mention, Pat? Damn, that sucks, man.
But, Chris, your story is an amazing one, really, at Florida. One of the most amazing there is out there.
It you know, for me, man, there's so many guys that come in, and even our good buddy Danny Warfel, man. Danny, you know, it was from the Panhandle. He tells a story. He probably wouldn't like me to tell this, but you can go back and look at one of his like junior yearbooks, and there's a picture of him, and I think drawing a picture of a Seminole, you know, stabbing a gator and all. So he didn't grow up with that same sort of love that I did. Very few people that come to Florida actually know the history. You know, yeah. I still am in awe when I go to Gator events and I'm around Kerwin Bell or Ricky Nateel or John L. Williams or, you know, Neil Anderson. All of those guys were such big influences on my life at an impressionable time. Even though a lot of people may, you know, look at me being on the same level as those guys, I still look at those guys as my heroes. And, you know, it just meant so much to me to be able to represent the University of Florida, to run out of that tunnel the way I dreamt of doing as a kid. And I really think the success that I had was much more appreciated because of, you know, the path that I went through and the love that I had developed for that school and that program my entire life.
I love that picture of you and Chris Collinsworth at Fan Day, that way back when.
Yeah, I mean, we went to Fan Day every year. I got pictures with Kerwin. I got pictures with Emmett Smith. I got pictures with Collinsworth. I mean, that was one of the highlights of my year, when Fan Photo Day, back in the day when it was on Florida Field, when they had the artificial turf out there. Those were the things that I enjoyed the most. And I think that also made me much more patient and tolerant of being in that position as a player where you have an opportunity to be part of those fan photo days and all the kids and the hot weather. I mean, they moved us into the O-Dome, but, you know, it becomes a lot. But I just remember I put myself in those kids' positions and remember, you know, how much of an impression those folks left on my life and tried to do the same for That's other awesome. Kids that were coming along.
I get a picture of me and Bruce Mullenix, I think, from the '72 team. You're probably you and Robbie Moore maybe would have had a picture together. These are old times.
Gerald days. Looper or Jimmy Ray when he was a player.
Jimmy Ray, yeah, that's right. Jimmy Ray with his mustache and his mullet.
Hey, Chris, whatever happened? What was the fate of that FSU hat you had?
Probably in the trash compactor back in the day. You remember when people had trash compactors?
Oh yeah.
You know what? It's funny now being in the SEC network and the job that I do and going around, spent some time here recently. I took my daughter up to Columbia, South Carolina, to tour South Carolina last week, and we were in Oxford. So I buy my kids, and specifically my son, you know, everywhere I go, I buy him some gear from each of the schools, or the equipment staff provides me with stuff from there. And I remember being a kid, my dad would go specifically, I remember him being going up to Athens and bringing me back a Bulldog shirt that I refused to wear. I never would put the red and black on. But my kids have been much more flexible. In fact, my daughter is hell-bent on going to the University of Alabama. So I very well may be writing a check to the folks in Tuscaloosa every year, man, which is not a cheap one.
Helping pay for Nick Saban's salary.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well,
hey, let me say this, Pat. Anybody that's ever complained about the money that is paid to Nick Saban and the athletic departments, you look at the enrollment, particularly the out-of-state enrollment that's happened over the last 10 years with the rise of that program. It's definitely a good investment for what they've been able to return on that.
Well, let's talk about the game Saturday. I know you're going to analyze it on the SEC Network with your guys, and I love watching the show.
Thank you.
Obviously, you're going to be a little bit stressed out Saturday night from 7:30 to 11 or so. But what do you think the keys are for Florida? We've seen this team. There's no more small sample sizes. We know exactly what both these teams are.
We do know exactly who they are, although I would say that we know a little less about Florida State because that roster has had talent on it. They struggled with discipline, one of the most penalized teams in the country. But in the last two ball games, since Odell Higgins has taken over, they seem to be playing a little bit better, man. So I would say that even though, you know, we feel like we know who these guys are, it seems like Florida State's trending in the right direction, albeit, you know, you can't go much further south than where they were, you know, with Willie Taggart the last year and a half. But I do think that's the dangerous thing about this game is that these are all folks that were recruited by Florida. I mean, there's talent on that roster that Florida coveted that ended up in Tallahassee. So if they're able to put it together, and I say more so if they're able to have some success early, yeah, I think that could be a dangerous spot. I read an article, might have been one of you guys, talking about the success or the lack of success that Florida's had in the first quarters and the way they've been able to turn things on in the fourth quarter to put teams away. But I don't think you want to give any sort of momentum or any sort of confidence to this team that has so many athletes on their side of it early.
Yeah, don't give them any life, Chris. Like you said, you get them down early and keep them down. And the thing is with them, they seem to be playing with a lot of more energy now and with confidence since Taggart's been gone.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a sometimes when you get that coaching change, sometimes when you have a guy that played at that school too, you know, I mean, there's something to be said. You guys remember what it was like for Coach Spurrier being around here.
Oh, yeah.
Playing for a guy that played at that school, that knows what it's like to experience running out of the tunnel, that loves the school the same way. So I think Odell's done a nice job of creating a little boost of energy with his just love for that school itself.
Well, and the thing is, and I was asked this question on Feinbaum yesterday, Chris, would this ruin Florida's season? And I said, yeah, you know, it really kind of would if they can't win this game, because then they're just like last year without a lot of the momentum going forward. They're in a lesser bowl than they were a year ago, so you can't say they took steps forward. Whereas if they win, they've won one more game they won last year, maybe they get into another New Year's Six Bowl, and it's such a positive. I think it would be a devastating loss, really, for this program.
I agree with you. I mean, I think it would be a huge step back. It'd be a bad taste in the mouth of all these fans over the next month. And even, you know, regardless of what happens with the bowl game, you know, it doesn't matter. You can't lose to your in-state rivals. I mean, think about the potential for the season. Florida could win 10 regular season games. They could win the state of Florida, which hasn't, you know, Florida really hadn't had an opportunity to play their two big in-state rivals in a long time. So you beat Miami. If you can beat Florida State here, and despite the College Football Playoff Committee trying to screw the Gators right now, if you can somehow find your way back into the New Year's Six, then I think it has a chance to be a great year, which it was going to be tough anyway. The bar was set high after the first season with Mullen back in Gainesville. So I do think this is a huge game for not only the Gators this year, but the trajectory of the program going forward.
Yeah, Chris, you know, to me, this Florida team was clearly better than a year ago, but now you got to go ahead and close it out and prove it with the record. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And you know, I think especially with Florida, you guys probably know this. When was the last time Florida was as big a favorite as they are right now? What is it, 18 or 19 points, something like that?
Yeah, I would guess back in the Tebow 09.
Tebow?
Yeah, right, yeah. In there probably.
His
yeah.
final year
yeah.
playing at home. I haven't looked that up.
Yeah, I think that's a you know, that's another thing that puts pressure on this team. But I will say this. I do think Florida's done a nice job. This coaching staff, maybe the in-game adjustments, that's what I think I appreciate the most about them. They've had great game plans when you go back to Mississippi State last year, to LSU last year. They put great game plans together, but I'm even more impressed with the way that they tweak things at halftime, the way they come out in the third quarter, and most importantly, as you guys have written about this week, finish teams off in the fourth quarter. I think the only thing better than starting fast is being able to finish fast, and this team's certainly done that this year.
No question about it. We appreciate your time, Chris, and it's always fun to talk to you. We will take a break. We'll be back with more on the Duly Noted Podcast right after this message. Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or visit Zaxby's.com. Okay, thanks again to Robbie and Chris for coming on, and we will, again, this is not going to be as long as the one Tuesday. I had a lot to say Tuesday. I was in a mood, but to have an hour-long podcast might have been too much. I think maybe some of you go, hey, you know, I had enough of Dooley. I'm on the treadmill, or I'm mowing my yard and it's done, or anything. So this one will be a little bit shorter. And again, I'm trying to get out of here to get the festivities going for Thanksgiving as well. And I hope you guys had, because you're probably listening to this after you've had your Thanksgiving meal. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Let's go to the spreads, because we talk about these, all the big games we got coming up. Yeah, and it would have been. And look, in a perfect world, last week, this week's schedule would have been last week when I was sitting there watching way too much football. And, you know, look, 11 straight hours of football is a little ridiculous. I may need to rethink things. But it was fun. I enjoyed every bit of it. But let's talk about some of the spreads. And of course, the one that jumps right at it is this Florida 18 over FSU. And I think it makes a lot of people nervous again, because Florida's season has been 18 points better than FSU's. If you just go based on, you know, what they've done, the losses that Florida State's had. But it's not like they've, you know, Boise State is a really good team and beat them in the opener. Virginia is playing Friday night, I think it is. Yeah, Friday night for a chance to win their division. So they've lost to some teams that were certainly Clemson. We all know about Clemson. Miami, maybe you can make an argument there. But I don't think that FSU team is going to come in here. I think it's going to be a little bit better FSU team, a little bit whether it's going to be more organized and more disciplined, I don't know. But 18 seems like an awful lot of points. However, that's not my lock. I've got a couple of locks for this week. And again, I'm not encouraging betting of any kind. One of them is, I think LSU is going to absolutely destroy Texas A&M. And a lot of it has to do with what Ed Orgeron said after the game against Arkansas. He says, whatever. Arkansas's terrible. I'm going to paraphrase it. Hey, Arkansas is terrible. Hey, we don't care about them. We just had to get that game over with. We are going after Texas A&M. And I think, you know, because that game last year, there was a fight on the field, if you remember, after the game. Somebody threw punches. LSU lost in seven overtimes. It was devastating for them. I think LSU, because they can, is going to destroy Texas A&M. Watching Kellen Mond play quarterback and watching the play calling, that apparently Jimbo Fisher lost that gene. He left it in Tallahassee. I used to say that the two best play callers in college football to me were Jimbo Fisher. I'm talking about getting guys open. Jimbo Fisher and Lane Kiffin. Getting guys open. They were the two best I think there was in the game. And he's not anymore. Watching that game against Georgia was pathetic how bad they were on offense. And I know Georgia's great on defense. I get that. But you've had a week to figure out how to try to attack that, and you're the genius. You got to do better than what he did. And I don't think he's got the gene. I don't think he's got the quarterback. I don't think he has the players. And I think LSU boat races him. Take LSU, give the 15 gladly. In fact, say, I'll give you 17. That's just my thoughts on that game. Okay, Alabama is a three-point favorite at Auburn. Obviously, Alabama's season is on the line. And you want rivalry games like this to matter, and you know they're going to matter no matter what the score. If you're both 4-8, 4-7, it would still matter. It would always matter. But it really matters to Alabama this year. And think about what Auburn will be if Alabama beats them. They'll be 8-4. Is that really what you're paying Gus Malzahn to do? Go 8-4? Because you can go 8-4 at Auburn with a lot of guys, you know? And that'll be an interesting situation moving forward. I don't think he'll get fired, but I think there are going to be conversations if that happens. And Alabama, it's not even – like I always say win by one. That's my slogan, win by one. Alabama, a win by one is not going to be good enough. You win by one, enjoy the Sugar Bowl, and I'm sure you'll have a fine time playing – who else would go to the Sugar Bowl? Like Utah or somebody in the Sugar Bowl or whoever it is. I'm sure you'll enjoy it, but you're not playing the college football playoff if you win by one. I mean, a lot would have to happen for you to be able to get in. And they know that. Sometimes I think it's harder to win by a lot than to win by a little. And that sounds like, well, duh. It's always harder to score more points than less. But I'm saying when you go into a game knowing it's not going to be enough just to win, it's almost like you're playing with that spread. Now, the spread's only 3 in this game, but it's almost like you're playing with like a 14-point spread, and they've given them the 14 points. You know, I've seen teams with that mentality. They're like, oh, God. It's at halftime, it's only 17-14, and they're getting 14 points. We're in real trouble. I don't know if it will. We'll see. This is Nick Saban's the best coach in college football, in my opinion. And we'll see how he's able to handle it. And if Mac Jones goes out and lights him up, a great defense. Don't forget, we're talking about a terrific defense with a terrific pass rush that is the only team that held LSU to a reasonable number of points. 23-24 in that game. 23, right? If Mac Jones goes out and those receivers and they light him up, look, they're not keeping 11-1 Alabama, even without a conference championship, with a capable quarterback. I don't think they'll keep him out. I think the name on the side of the helmet, although there's no name, it's just a number, but I think the shade of the helmet will matter. Wisconsin's 4-point favorite at Minnesota. I went back and forth on this one. I just think there's something that Rick Neuheisel said the other day on the radio that I took to heart, and that is that P.J. Fleck has been waiting for this game, and he's had everything prepared. He's had his team prepared, fans prepared. This isn't going to be too big for him, and that's kind of the way I think. Wisconsin kind of, I think in our mental scoreboard, kind of disappeared after they had those losses. They were a really good team at one point, but I don't know how good they are now. I don't think if they've lost a lot of confidence. But it's certainly a tight line there at 4 points. Ohio State 9 over Michigan. You know, again, I watched Ohio State. I was impressed with a lot of the things they do. A lot of the, you know, Chase Young was overwhelming. He's gotten on my Heisman ballot. Michigan's played really well. I'm just looking forward to watching a good game. You know, I really don't have any strong feeling either way. I'm just going to watch it. It's noon game. We don't have to get to the ballpark till 5 o'clock or so. So I'm just going to watch it. And I don't really know who's going to win. Anything I do is simply a guess. Oklahoma, 14.5 at Oklahoma State. That seems like a lot of points for especially Oklahoma State, who's playing really well. And Oklahoma's been having trouble putting teams away lately. You know, we just saw what happened in that TCU game. So I think that's a lot of points. Cincinnati is getting 12 at Memphis, and I'm picking Cincinnati. So there's your upset. Memphis is really good. I think Cincinnati has one game left in them. They haven't played well lately. I think they're going to have one game left in them, and they're going to go show it in this game. Ole Miss Ole Miss is a 1-point favorite now. It opened at 2.5 for Mississippi State. And then I think people realize, oh, you mean that Mississippi State? Oh, never mind. We're going to make them the underdog. Neither team is any good. But I'll watch. It's Thanksgiving night. You guys may be watching it right now while you're listening to this podcast. What's happening? Who's winning? I can go bet on it. Tennessee is a 20-point favorite over Vandy. And, of course, Vandy is terrible. We all know that. But, you know, Vandy's got just enough players to make it I still don't think Tennessee's that great. I got all these people mad at me when I was on Feinbaum the other day. All these Tennessee fans, because I said, look, they haven't beaten anybody. And somebody sent me they're going to be next year's, but we talked about this, they're going to be next year's Missouri. They're going to be the team that in the summer, and we go to Atlanta, which is where SEC Media Days are, and everybody's like, what about Tennessee this year? They may be the team that kind of gets in between that Florida-Georgia thing. That's what it was with Missouri last year. They're 5-6, by the way. Tennessee is 6-5. They've beaten nobody. They've beaten up on the bad teams in this league, and that goes back to the issue with this league right now. And by the way, and nobody cares but me, if Missouri does beat Arkansas, which you would expect to happen, Arkansas is not even an SEC team anymore. I believe I'm right on this. I think the two East and West will go 7-7. But nobody's going to feel like it's a tie because the league has been so bizarrely unbalanced this year. It's been really good teams. LSU, Alabama, Georgia. I'll put Florida in there. I'll put Auburn in there to a maybe not, maybe just below, and then like an Auburn and a Texas A&M, and then everybody else. And as a result, and I talked about this in one of the earlier podcasts, you can get fat on an SEC schedule this year. And that's what Tennessee's done. They got fat on bad teams. The best team they've beaten during this run that they're on is Alabama-Birmingham. It really is. If I put Alabama-Birmingham against any team that they've beaten from the SEC, South Carolina, what are they, like 30-point favorite underdogs against Clemson? So anyway, I think I'm getting off on a tangent here. But by the way, Miami was a 9-point favorite at Duke for their finale, and it's gone all the way down to 5.5. And again, it opened at 9.5 because they didn't realize they were going to lose to FIU. Now everybody's like, they stink. All right, so those are the spreads. We like to talk about those. One other factor or thing I want to talk about. Of course, Florida plays basketball Friday. It's a late 9 o'clock game. It's, again, TV getting in the way of us having everybody having a good time. I know a lot of people aren't going to go just because it's so late. I mean, maybe if you're out Black Friday shopping, you go from there to Black Friday shopping. It's just ridiculous on the night before the FSU game. Now, since FSU is a night game, that made it better. But can you imagine if that was a Florida FSU was a noon game, which a lot of people thought it would be, and then you're playing a 9 o'clock night basketball game before it. TV, what are you going to do? But, of course, Duke lost to Stephen F. Austin Tuesday night, which is I think I'm like everybody who maybe had other, some other things they were doing, and they woke up this morning and go, what? How does that happen? In Cameron Indoor? Well, I'm telling you, this is a time of year when these things are always happening. They don't happen to Duke usually. They don't lose to non-conference games in Cameron. I think they were 150 straight. So that is stunning. But what happened to Kentucky? What happened to Florida? These things are happening in November because you're just trying to figure your team out. I saw get off on a little rant here. I'll try to make it a quick one. At ESPN, I know, God bless them, they have to put up stuff constantly, you know, stories and everything, and constantly be hitting. And I understand. We all do the same thing. But when I see Joe Lunardi talking about how Duke's loss impacts the bracket, I just want to go, shut up. Joe Lunardi's a great guy. But like in the Florida game Saturday, the announcers were forced to bring him on in the middle of the game that was a 2-point game, and he talked for an entire segment about bracketology and what mattered and all this. And meanwhile, on the floor, their teams are going up and down in this tight game. It's an important game for the Gators, and I'm just like screaming at the TV. It's not Joe's fault, and it's not even ESPN's fault. It's just the way the tournament takes over everybody's life, so it's the only thing that matters. Duke's loss to Stephen F. Austin may mean nothing at the end of the year. Florida's loss to FSU or to obviously UConn probably won't hurt them at the end of the year. Just keep playing. Keep playing. This game Friday night, not going to be easy either. If this team keeps the mentality they had in Charleston, they'll be fine. Hopefully they brought the rims with them as well. All right. It is time for three things.
It's time for three things.
I still managed to make this way too long, didn't I? I have a knack for that. Maybe not. Maybe it's about right for you guys. Let's do three things, and we'll start out with number one, the eye test. The eye test is one of those things that drives me crazy. People say, you know, did they pass the eye test? And I'm like, well, first of all, I know the committee members have every game is put onto their iPads, and they can watch every game with no commercials, so they get to watch the game, and they really are truly doing eye tests. And in that frame of it, I like it. But when I hear other people say, I don't know if they pass the eye test. How much of the game you watch? I just watch the highlights. That's not an eye test. Those are highlights. You watch an entire game, every game of a season of a team, that's how you know what they really are. And that's why I do, even though I'm not thrilled with what happened to Florida in the that they didn't jump up a little bit in the college football playoff, and maybe it does affect them. And I still, somebody's got to explain to me why Baylor goes up 5 spots when they beat a lousy Texas team. And I'm sorry, you're 6-5, you're a lousy team. Tennessee's 6-5, and they're having parades, but Texas was back, right? Remember? They're 6-5. You beat them, and you go up 5 spots in the ranking? And I still don't get why Ohio State's ahead of LSU. I think that's dumb. Eye test? Well, not by my eye test. But I do respect the committee. Of course, Scott Strickland is on it. But I still don't get a lot of what came out the other night. But you know what? Let's see what comes out this week. And then we'll see what comes out next week. And that one will really matter. Number two, what happened in Missouri was ridiculous. We all know that. As I said, I think I said this on Twitter. It was almost like somebody – you ever see that scene in The Firm? Firm is a good, really good movie, great book. In The Firm, where the fax machine runs out of a roll of paper, and so the last fax gets curled up and slips underneath the fax machine, and nobody sees it for several days, right? It had to do with the release of prison of his brother. Well, yeah, that happens. And I think that's what happened with the NCAA. Oh, gosh, we forgot all about that Missouri thing. For them to wait until the week that they're going to try to get bowl eligible to come down on it is a bad deal. And what's happened is the animosity, not from Missouri and from the SEC, has been really thick. And the NCAA's basically said, hey, you don't like the rules? Change them. Your presidents are in charge of our organization. You change the rules. So here are our rules. We're doing it, okay? But it really isn't fair, I know that they lined up both Mississippi State and Missouri, the infractions and everything, and the penalties, and Missouri made a big stink about that. I know. It's a flawed, borderline corrupt system, but it's the one we're living with. And finally, number three, I do, again, want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Be thankful for all the great things you have. Don't worry about the bad things you don't have. I'm a grouch sometimes, and I know better than that. I had an epiphany about it this morning when I was thinking about how lucky I am. And I'll share this with you. I don't know if one day I'll write about it, but I'll share this with you. Last night, Coach Spurrier spoke to the quarterback club, and we had a great talk, and we were before and afterwards. And I was thinking to myself this morning that when I was a little boy, 12 years old, in the swamp, well, it wasn't the swamp then, at Florida Field, and I was watching Steve Spurrier kick the winning field goal against Auburn. If somebody had told me at that point, you know, one day Steve Spurrier is going to be a really good friend of yours, that would have freaked me out. And to think about it now, to have a friend like that, to have a friend like Chris Doering, to be covering the team that I grew up watching, that I, you know, as a fan and as a student, and I went to school here, I'm really a lucky guy. And that's what I'm giving thanks for. And I'm going to try to be nicer to everybody after Thanksgiving. Okay? I won't call anybody the Kardashians anymore or Uncle Rico's. I'm just going to be the nicest guy in the world. Nah. All right, we will be back with another podcast next week, early one only, of course, because there's no game next week. Tuesday, we'll have one up. We'll tell you what we thought, or what I thought, about Florida, FSU, and all the other great games. What a weekend this is going to be. Please to enjoy, okay? Until next time, I'm Pat Dooley, the sports columnist of the Gainesville Sun. I am deep, I am way back, and I am out of here. The Duly Noted Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's. Satisfy your craving for hand-breaded chicken and fresh-made salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxby's.com/podcast. And by Vistar Credit Union with locations across Gator Country. Visit vistarcu.org and also ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. ABC, always be celebrating.